Eating healthy, living healthy, being healthy. This is the Holistic Keto Goddess Podcast. A podcast focused on holistic wellness and teaching you about incorporating the keto diet and lifestyle changes to achieve an energetic balance. Teaching you how to live now so you don't struggle to live later. And now, your host, Jessica Ancaya.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Keto and Energetic Balance. Today on the podcast, I have Lisa Marie Rankin. She has a new book now that is available. It's called The Goddess Solution, which is excellent. And she also happens to be an Ayurvedic coach. And I've been reading the book, The Goddess Solution. I have found it super inspirational. And so I'd recommend anyone to purchase that. And so let me get started, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. So first question, what inspired you to write The Goddess Solution? Kind of tell me a little bit about that.
Interesting. I've always been interested in yoga and spirituality for a good portion of my life. But, you know, and I had a yoga practice, had a meditation practice. And then in my 30s, I had two kids. My marriage was really devolving. It was starting to crumble. And I was finding myself less and less inspired with my day job. And then like once my marriage ended, I remember I was looking a lot of things outside of myself to try to make myself feel better. Like I remember really focusing on my looks, trying to curate this like aesthetic. I was going on a lot of dates with men, looking for validation from men or drinking too much with my girlfriends. And I remember just looking at myself in the mirror one day and I probably like looked like tired, dehydrated, and maybe, you know, probably a little vacant. Or I remember just thinking to myself, like, I don't feel like a goddess. And I remember using those words. And it was kind of interesting because even though I've always been interested in spirituality, I hadn't really always spent that much time thinking about goddesses. But it's like, I always like to think when I tell that story, it's like, I felt like the goddess was calling me back a little bit. So it kind of prompted me to be like, well, I'm going to start learning and researching like what a goddess might feel like. Because I felt like I knew something was off with my energy. Like I just didn't feel kind of whole within myself. It's like I was looking at all these areas outside of myself and I knew that there needed to be some healing. So I wanted to feel like back whole, sovereign, raise my energy. And that's really what started me on this path. And then one day I was like, I'm going to start writing a blog about goddesses. And, you know, I'm going to really try to help me make sense of the situations in my life. And then as I started to go down this path, it was really amazing because I was like, wow, these goddesses, like we don't talk that much, or at least I hadn't known that much about them, but I'm like, their myths are still relevant to everything that we're going through today, whether it's relationships, divorce, co-parenting, work, finding meaning in life. And it was almost like it provides us with a little bit of a roadmap to make sense of the situations in our life and really understand like, what's the direction that we want to go? And what is it that we need to feel whole, sovereign, and empowered?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the goddess is with, well, there's probably several goddesses that are within us all the time. We just need to reach within. Like I relate very well to the goddess Isis. And even before reading your book, I've kind of read some of her stuff and kind of really found out that I related to her. So, okay. So do you find that there is a direct correlation between a goddess and chakra balance? I mean, I was reading your book and I thought that Aphrodite really correlated a lot with the sacral plexus chakra, and then Inanna and Lilith, I don't know, may correlate a little bit with the throat chakra. So kind of tell me a little bit about that.
Right. I really do. So, I mean, this is actually, it's one of the things I was working on. Like at one point I kind of was working on this little program for the seven chakra goddesses, where I think we can look at like the energetics of the chakras and they can really match up with the energetics of the goddess. So if somebody was trying to call in a certain goddess, like, so let's like use an example. So like Demeter, the Greek goddess of grain, harvest, fertility, I think of her as like that goddess is with the energy of like growth. You know, she gets the crops to grow, women to conceive. I also think of her as like associated with the root chakra, where the root chakra is all about feeling sick, stable, supported, and grounded. So it's likely like if somebody wanted to call more of that energy into their life, like maybe they were feeling a little bit of anxious, or they weren't learning to, they needed to learn how to mother themselves. Cause you know, as women, we're great caretakers to everybody else, but not always ourselves. And I'd be talking to them about pulling in the Demeter energetics. It would probably be similar practices to strengthening and opening up your root chakra as well. And I think we could go up all of the chakras and really identify goddesses that might have similar energetics. So I think there's actually a lot in common.
Yeah, it seems like a different approach when you reach out to these goddesses, and it's a different approach, but you indirectly will balance your chakras by reaching out to the goddesses. I really like that. That's very neat.
Definitely. Like you said, like, I really think Aphrodite is like very much like kind of the sacral chakra. You
know, okay, so I had that right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I was like, yeah, because she was talking about empowerment and then some other different qualities of the sacral plexus chakra, which was really neat. I like that. So
it's kind of interesting too, because even if you look at the myth like of Aphrodite, or Oshun is another one, she's a Yoruba goddess of like love and fresh water. Yes. But Aphrodite came out of the water, and Oshun, you know, is the goddess of fresh water, and like the element of the sacral chakra is water. So I think, you know, and just like with the element of the root chakra is earth, and Demeter's an earth god. So there's so many, there's a bunch of similarities.
Yeah, no, I did notice that. I really like that. Cause like I said, it's just a different approach to your chakras, but you're going through the goddesses and you can relate to each of the goddesses. Then in turn also balance your chakras. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we need them. We, you know, we really need them all to be balanced. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So do you find that yoga and meditation are the keys to making a woman feel like a goddess? I mean, I know it makes me feel like that. I mean, I have that in my practice every day, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think yes, and it doesn't have to be just yoga and meditation. So, you know, I often tell my students that, you know, it's anything that really brings you back to your body. So I really like to think that feminine spirituality begins in the body. And I think that some meditations kind of, we think that we can transcend the body and maybe at some point, but I don't think in general that's a great practice. So generally I like to do meditations that are like focused on the body. Like, how does it feel to be in my body? Mm-hmm. And I think yoga is great because that's kind of like a moving meditation and it does just that. But I think women can also, I think strength training is a great way to get back into your body, mm-hmm. making love, dancing. So anything that's kind of bringing you back to this more physical, more material realm, I think is really the goddess practice.
Yeah. Like Zumba is good for the sacral plexus chakra. And that's always fun. Yeah. So, okay. What are your thoughts about mantras and affirmations? I mean, do you hold the belief that you think that they can maybe help move energy if there's a congested chakra? What is your thoughts on that?
I think so. I mean, I don't work so specifically with the chakras, but I would believe that mantras can open up chakras. And they're also a great way to connect with goddess. So a lot of the goddesses have mantras of their own. And that's really, it's a very intimate way of connecting with the goddess because you're connecting directly with her in like sound form. Mm-hmm. So that's also, I think it's a beautiful practice.
Okay. Yes. Can you explain maybe a little bit about the masculine and feminine energies? Do you think those are pertinent for people to embrace, like men and women to embrace their inner goddess? Do you think that some men have feminine energy and vice versa? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's really important to be aware of the energy that you have. And we all need a combination of masculine and feminine energy. So it's not necessarily related to the sex or what gender you identify with, or even sexual orientation. So we can call it the yin and the yang. So these are the energies. And I think a lot like masculine energy tends to be structured, linear. It's like kind of direct, mm-hmm. where feminine energy is more circular. It's more intuitive. It's more collaborative. So we have both in our bodies. And again, it doesn't matter if we are what sex we are, what gender we identify with, or what our sexual orientation is. We need both masculine and feminine to survive. And I think in our culture, often we've taken a lot of masculine energy. So if you think of like the energy you need to get through the education system or the corporate world, it's very structured and linear. So I think a lot of us need to tap in more to our feminine energy, but it's also good too, because if we're taking on too much masculine energy as women, or maybe even as men as well too, we can start. And if it's not our core, like some women may naturally embody a lot of masculine energy, but when we're taking on more than we're comfortable, we start to notice it manifest. Like maybe we feel more tired, or we have low libido, or we're feeling anxious. So it's really kind of important to understand, you know, what your core energy is and what you want to embody. And it's also important in relationships too. So whether it's like heterosexual or same sex, there's that polarity of masculine and feminine energy. So if you have two people with a lot of masculine energy, then, you know, things might not go as well as the same as the two people with a lot of feminine. So it's really kind of that polarity that creates the attraction too. Yeah. Again, through your sex or orientation, but it's just having that dynamic blend, kind of that push and pull.
You're right about the same sex, like same sex marriages. You always have one that's a little more masculine and then you have the feminine side. So, you need that polarity, that balance. And yep, I totally agree with that. So let's kind of talk a little bit about fasting. And do you feel like fasting is good for accessing the crown chakra or some of that goddess energy? What are your thoughts on that? And if you just want to delve into that a little bit.
I don't know enough about fasting probably to have an opinion on that. I think it really depends on people's constitution and their body types and whether, you know, whether they have the body type that would be appropriate for fasting, because I think that does vary depending on what people's build, constitution, and even what they have going on in their life at any given moment. So yeah, I can't really answer that. I can tell you from an Ayurvedic perspective, kind of the tenets of health are, one is to increase your Agni. And Agni is really your digestive fire. So that's your ability to digest your food, as well as like your life experiences. And we can increase our Agni by eating at the same time every day, maybe eating the biggest meal at lunch, and eating clean foods that's like local, seasonal, and appropriate for your body type. Because I think as a goddess, basically, you're not going to be able to tap into that goddess energy if you feel sluggish, if you're eating heavy foods that are just kind of keeping you a little bit like just not feeling great, if you're not eliminating your foods. So I think nutrition is an important part of it, but I know more from the Ayurvedic perspective as opposed to the
food. Do you think for Ayurvedic perspective, you kind of approach the foods like, is it similar to like chakra balancing related foods? Like, for instance, if you're balancing your solar plexus chakra, you eat yellow color foods like bananas or squash. Is it kind of similar, or is it kind of explain a little bit?
Sure. With Ayurveda, it's really more based on your dosha. So your dosha is your energy pattern. So that could be like Vata, Pitta, or Kapha. And it's really understanding. So if you have Vata, so that means you're very creative, but you also might be a little bit more anxious and your appetite might be more variable. So you don't want to eat necessarily, if you're trying to balance that Vata energy, you wouldn't eat things similar like to that, like light crackers. You'd eat more grounding foods like sweet potatoes with oils and coconuts and dates. Whereas if you're Kapha and things are moving a little bit more slowly and there's like a sense of a little bit more heaviness, then you'd want to eat lighter. So, you know, you might eat like lighter salads or thinner soups. So it's really kind of balancing. With Ayurveda, like increases like. So if I'm feeling like airy and spacey and out of it, then I'm not going to want airy light foods. I'm going to want grounding foods to help balance. So opposites balance.
Chakra. Yes. Right. Like you were saying, the goddess Demeter or root chakra, like those type of foods to bring you down from feeling airy.
Yes.
Yeah. So or how about, no, go ahead.
Say with Ayurveda, it's really about understanding how you're feeling at any point, you know, like understanding your energy. You're feeling great, you know, continue doing what you're doing. If you're not feeling great, it's kind of understanding that, know where you want to be, and then choosing food and lifestyle practices that will get you there.
Right. Is it a vegan perspective? I mean, is there any meat? Can you eat meat, or is it usually fruits and vegetables?
Really, it's more of eating for your body, for your food type. So, I mean, Ayurveda was originated in India, and much of India is vegetarian. So I would say it's mostly vegetarian. And if you have people that really follow that tradition, but Ayurveda also tells you, in the way that I was taught, is that we also eat as our ancestors eat as well too. And we eat like locally from where we are. So it's not trying to emulate an Indian diet if we don't live in India, but you're trying to eat within our locality, within our culture too.
Right. Yeah. I don't feel like, yeah, we do that as much nowadays. You can get anything you want at the store. And it's like, we've gotten away from the local farmer aspect, but I still really value it. I know I always shop at a local farmer's market, or I go to a little small grocery store. So I'm really,
yeah, believe it. I think it's important. Yeah. To kind of consider the local and your ancestry.
Exactly. Okay, well, that's great. So tell me a little bit more where we can find you. Like, where's your blog? And I was looking, you have a class on how to be a goddess. Maybe tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. Folks can find me on my website. So that's lisamarierankin.com. And that has all the links to all of my essays, to my courses. I have a great Facebook group with women from around the world. And we come together. We talk about how we can take goddess wisdom and apply it to our everyday lives. So that's available as well. And then my course, so where the course is currently in session, but I'll be offering it again in a couple of weeks. You can get on the wait list on my website. The course is all about how to connect with your inner goddess. So the book really tells, like, looks at the different goddesses, the energetics and the myths, and gives some self-inquiries and meditations. And then the course is really coming back into the body. So it's learning more about Ayurveda, ancient and modern practices, in the myths, and like what we need to do to really start cultivating these energetics in our body. And it's great because we look at like ancient practices, like different meditations, but we also, like, in one of the modules is about relationships. We look at neuroscience and like how our early childhood experiences with our primary caregiver really affects the way that we relate with others. And if that wasn't great, then what we need to do to rewire them too. So it really just covers like the different areas of how to be whole. Like, we work on physical body, sexual energy, emotional body, relationships, and our connection to the divine. So it's kind of like a full holistic self-care program.
Yeah, it sounds like you're hitting all the chakras there. So that's great.
Yeah.
Well, terrific. Well, this has been a great chat, and I look forward to working with you again in the future.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Take care.
This has been the Holistic Keto Goddess Podcast with Jessica Ankaya. Follow the Holistic Keto Goddess on social media like Pinterest, Twitter, and Facebook. If you have any questions about today's show or how you can live a healthier life, visit holisticketogoddess.com and go more in depth with blogs and healthy living resources. Like, share, subscribe, and listen wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening to the Holistic Keto Goddess Podcast with Jessica Ankaya.